great. God bless you, hon. Thank you. Amen. And look, we have more. We have more to give out, and we'll give them out next time. Okay? All right. Wow. Whew. Okay. Switch gears. I'm in a series. We're in a series on faith. And why? Because faith in God is the most valuable thing we have access to. It's the most valuable thing we have access to. And so we have come to know that how much seed of faith do you need to move a mountain? Mustard seed faith. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed from here. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. How many of you are walking in the nothing's impossible to you stage yet? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, so we also found out that when we engage in the ridiculous, we also engage in outrageous miracles. And so nothing is impossible with God, and we see it all throughout the scripture, and we have a lot of testimonies from that. So where do miracles, who do they come through? Who do miracles come through? Is it apostles, bishops, reformers, revivalists, tent preachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, priests? Yes. And, you're right, and from every Christian, that every Christian that has faith in God, no matter what your title is, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how short you've been saved, God is a God that honors their people and steps out in faith and steps into faith with all of our trust being in him. So it doesn't matter how old or young you are. Amen? Okay, so I have a testimony for that. How many of you would like to hear about how God works through children? Come on, Cindy. Look how cute you are.
I was so excited when Pastor Don said I could give my testimony today. So, you know, I counted up how many testimonies, like miracle healings I have, and I have at least 4, and that doesn't even count my family miracles, right, which I count, and that doesn't count the healing as a process miracles, and that doesn't count my relationship miracles. Those are like, these are instantaneous, God, only God did it right now, this way, miracles. And so I'm really excited to tell you about this. I wanted to tell you, miracles are for us every day. The whole thing we're different than others around us is because God wants to live and move in us every day. We live in him and move and have our being in him. He doesn't want us to be independent from him. He wants us to be totally relying on him. Every day, just as we go. That's how come Psalm 91 works for us. Because he loves me, because he trusts me, I'll lift him up. I'll be with him. I'll help him. I'll do the impossible for him. So one day I was at the park. My kids were like 11 and 9, and Missy was just new. And like, I don't know why, but sometimes you wear sandals to the park, right? Because we're from Florida. So for whatever reason, I was playing around at the park. Yeah. I had sandals on, and I slipped and fell. And this is excruciating, so just be ready.
Yes, it's a horrible story.
My big toenail on my left foot got all the way peeled back. Just the edge was still on, just the bottom edge was still on, and it was folded back on itself. It was horrifying. It was just one of the worst moments of my life. And I said, kids, pack your stuff because I probably have to go to the emergency room because I do not know how to deal with this. And I said, but before we go, let's just take a minute and pray. So I held my leg. My kids came around me. They put their hands on my leg too. And Justin and Jonathan prayed for me. And just a simple prayer. I don't even remember what we prayed, but we put our faith in God and asked him to help us right here, right now. While we were watching, my toenail that was bent backwards on itself and folded started to just come down. And it went right over my toe and went back into position. And I got up and pressed it back and I finished playing. And that was it. It was a little tender. It was a little bit tender. I had to like be careful of it for 2 days. But it was a miracle. It just happened right before my eyes. And I have some other ridiculous miracles that someday I'm going to tell you too.
Amen and amen. We love. Okay, so how many of you are convinced now that children prayed for that miracle? And so Satan will not steal our youth. He is not stealing our youth. He is not going to steal our children. He is not going to steal our miracles. It is exactly what we need to understand, because we have to move in act of faith right now in this world. So we need to know what we need to know. Amen? We need to understand what we need to understand, and we need to engage in what we need to engage in. And so when we received Jesus, we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his great light. Amen. And so this is a spiritual dynamic that we cannot explain in the natural. But how many of you weren't saved and now you are? Well, a couple people are saved here today. That's good to know. And so the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is the candle of the Lord. So his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, but it's in the world if we bring it. Amen. So in Romans, it says 12:3, for I say that through the grace given to me, every man that is among you doesn't need to think more highly of him than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly means you've got to get in your right mind. How many of you know that you can't get in your right mind if you are being invaded by the thoughts of the enemy? You can only get in your right mind when you stay in the mind of God. And so that's why God has given us his faith and a measure of faith. He said, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we all start out with a measure of faith. It's enough to take us to where we need to get to the next measure. Did you hear me? Because we have to realize that we start with a measure of faith. Faith can increase, and we are supposed to increase our faith. And Peter, he exhorts us, and he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the world that you can grow thereby. He's saying you have to start out like a baby starts out. It's natural for a baby to grow. We have a cute little baby sitting right there. She's already growing, and she's going to keep growing, and then she's going to walk, and then she's going to be running around in a short little while, because God designed people to grow. And he also designed you to grow in the spirit. Amen? He designed us to mature in the body of Christ. And so, yes, it's an ongoing project. Our growth in God is an ongoing project. Amen? So we are to operate under a different mindset. And it is the mindset of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was always a part of what Jesus was trying to get his disciples to understand. What did he say when he taught them to pray? He said this, Matthew 6, 9 and 10. Please find that wherever it may be. I am preaching from last night's sermon. How many of you know me? The sermon shifts from Saturday night to Sunday morning. But it's all good. Thank you. Terrorized I am. Okay. So God designed us, and Jesus taught us how to pray to get God's will to come from heaven to earth. If it wasn't for Jesus modeling this for us, we wouldn't even know how to pray correctly. Okay, so he told us that whatever we ask in his name, The Son will do it to bring glory to the Father. And so he said in John 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Did you get that? So think of all the miracles that Jesus did, all the people he set free, everything that he did. He said, anyone who has faith in him. Do you have faith in him? Okay. You will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Now we read that scripture, but now we have to realize what it really means. Because he went to the Father, he released to us the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And he lives where? In us. Okay, so the third person of the Trinity. And so that's why we can have confidence when we pray, that when we pray, he hears us and he will answer us and he will do everything because it's bringing glory to the Father. So now he's telling us how to pray. And the first thing he says, after this manner, pray this. Our Father, which art in heaven. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's saying the first thing you've got to do is acknowledge God and honor him for who he is, but also for who he's made you to be. Because he goes on to say, the next thing in honoring him is to say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is where he told us to pray this way, because first we engage in acknowledging God. The next thing we do is acknowledge that he is bringing his kingdom from heaven to earth. It's great that we know that heaven is wonderful, that there is peace in heaven, that there is no sickness in heaven, there is no disease in heaven, there's no sorrow or tears in heaven. We have all of these things that we have knowledge of from the word. But do you understand that when we pray this, when we are praying and honoring God, we are honoring him when we are saying, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are saying, here we are, willing to know what we should know, do what we should do, engage with what we should engage with. And we need to start engaging with kingdom principles, operating in our life. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. So this is beyond our natural senses. So how many of you know we have five senses? Okay, so what do we have? We have sight, we have sound, we have smell, we have taste, we have touch. But we are not going to operate in the fullness of God that we were crying out for this morning and the kingdom of God if we limit ourselves to those senses. How many of you know we have another sense? We have faith sense. That's the sixth sense. I'm not even going to tell you what the seventh sense is yet. The sixth sense that we have been given is faith. He's given us a measure of faith. Now we have to grow that, because it superimposes, our faith will superimpose itself over our natural senses and make them supernatural. Okay, that was good. I don't know. I'm excited about you, Jesus, and what you're able to do. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen, they're not made by things that are visible. Oh my gosh. God spoke the word and the world was made. We can't understand that with our finite mind, and yet here we are, standing on earth right now. Standing in South Florida right now, how did God orchestrate all of this? We don't know, but we're here. We don't understand it, but the supernatural presence of God was moving in effect because he released what he needed to release. God has faith in himself. He said he couldn't swear by anything higher than his own self. And so anything that he did with faith in what he was able to do. If we just join him and partner with him, we can do the same. Jesus said so. Okay, so think about physical touch in the natural versus the spiritual touch of God. How many of you have been touched by God? Amen. So there's a marked difference, isn't there? The difference between a physical touch and a spiritual touch are our natural senses are involved, but the supernatural presence of God elevates your ability to receive and know his touch, and it is incomparable to natural touch. When God touches you, you know that's what you did when you got saved. If he touched your heart, you got touched by the Holy Spirit conviction, and you gave yourself to God. You received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's consistently revealing himself. His touch is the most important touch that we can have, and he's available 24 hours a day. And so when you've been touched with God's touch of love, guess what it does? It increases your capacity to love and to give it out to other people. All of a sudden, your love is not enough to contain. You're just so full of love, you got to do something about it. And that's what God does. So we remember Pharaoh's kiss from God. We'll never let you over this, Pharaoh. And we don't want to. We want to remember that when he went on his missions trip, a man came to him and said, you need to be kissed by the Father God. And when he kissed Pharaoh, Pharaoh received something that was out of the natural. Because how many of you know that Anthony could kiss Pharaoh right now and, hey, that'd be weird. Okay. But when the Spirit of God orchestrates a kiss in the natural, but it is superimposed with the supernatural love of God on it, it wasn't just a kiss. It was compassion that was running through that man that got inside of Pharaoh that made him act different ever since. And we are lucky enough to be a part of that and to enjoy the overflow. Amen? But it's not contained to Pharaoh. Amen. God has the same kind of supernatural touch, the supernatural kiss, the supernatural revelation that you need to become all that he wants you to be and to be able to do all that he wants you to do and to affect other people's lives that way. Then he started hugging Jessica. Then Jessica was moved by God because it is a chain reaction. When somebody receives from God, you've got to give it out. And when you give it out, they get it. And when they get it, they give it out. And when they get it, they give it out. And that's how God wants his kingdom to operate on earth as it is in heaven. Continually, always moving forward. Amen? Okay, so, God's design. What about natural hearing versus hearing from the Spirit of God? We can hear, you hear me right now. But you can hear the Spirit speaking too. Sometimes he speaks loudly to you. When Susan Dudley was driving down the road the other day, she was coming down at this really dangerous spot. People have gotten in many accidents in that particular spot at Davie Road Extension. And she said, if I never heard God's audible voice before, I heard it then. And the Holy Spirit just screamed, stop! And she slammed on her brakes, and she missed getting hit by this much. Now, how many of you know that was an important word from the Lord? Okay, and we're all thankful for it. So God can direct your path that way, or on the inside, when you're in that quiet moment with God, he can speak to you with a still small voice when you're hiding in a cave. And he proves himself to you again. And he might come to you and say, what are you doing in a cave? Get out. He might come and say, I'm still here. He might come and say, hey, I have an assignment for you to go love somebody. God is always speaking. It's just if we know how to listen to him. But it's his supernatural gift of hearing that imposes itself over our regular hearing that makes us know we are operating in a different kingdom. We are no longer just operating in this natural kingdom. Thank God. The world system is no longer the system that we abide by, live by, or thrive by. It is the kingdom of God that makes us come alive and to be expectant for what he's going to bring. Amen? He says this. What about sight, our natural sight versus supernatural sight? In Corinthians it says, but eye has not seen. Eye has not, these eyes, these natural eyes, we haven't seen. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. You know, our heart is like that operational meter. It floods with love or hate. Our heart hurts or it is happy. We operate by faith and access his will. His kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven is coming to us so it can come through us. And it is our privilege of choosing between the physical sense of faith and the spiritual sense of faith. And so physical faith does not take into account God's miracles. It can only believe what it sees in the natural. You start talking crazy to people when you start talking about miracles. They think you're a wackadoo. But yeah, they'll go see some movie that has a bunch of demons in it, and they won't be offended by those demons. I don't like it. I'm not going to go sit and subject myself to a bunch of demons tying somebody to a pentagram, glorifying Satan. What in the world are we doing as Christians going to a movie like that and not walking out? We need to be tying ourselves to the supernatural presence of God and seeing what he can do through our lives and seeing the transformation for somebody who's been caught up in bondage and being set free and receive the freedom of Christ. You never want to go back there. You never want to go back there. And so physical faith is just believing what somebody told you. How many of you have been led astray by somebody who thought they knew what they're talking about, but they really didn't? How many of you know that the Holy Ghost always knows what he's talking about and it's for your benefit? Amen? So Jesus said, if you can believe, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to them who believes. How many things are possible for you? If what? Yes, we have to have faith in God. And so we're capable of believing God and we're capable of growing our faith. And so, but you will never use any more faith than the amount of self that you let go of. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. You will not use any more faith than the amount of self you let go of. You know why? Because if we're operating by self, then we're never going to operate in God's faith. Because we're still making our own decisions. We're trying to hang tie God into what we want to do instead of how he's orchestrated our life. We can't operate in the faith of God as long as we're trying to make him do what we want him to do. We need to get rid of ourselves and say, I don't even care. I just want to be with you. That's what we were crying out for today. We want the fullness of him. We want the fullness of the Spirit. We're, you know, the Spirit is like, God is a jealous God. The Holy Spirit is amazing. And he lives on the inside of us. But sometimes he doesn't have a lot of room in our house. If he went into our heart and he went into every room of our heart, he would find out that maybe he has a lot of freedom in this part of your house. Maybe he has a lot of freedom in the kitchen. Maybe you're hungry for more of him. Maybe that's where he can dwell wholeheartedly. But maybe in the bedroom, he's not allowed. Well, I'm just going to throw that out there and move on. You get the picture. We have to be people that are subjected to God. We can't get more faith than them unless we get rid of more of ourselves. We have to hold on to God's ways more than we hold on to our own ways. And his ways are higher and they're better and they're more fulfilling. And he's not trying to take something away from you. He's trying to get something to you that is better. Amen? So he wants us to grow in the kingdom because it's a growing governmental system that is headed by God, not Satan. How many of you know Satan is alive? Because every time you're tempted, you should know. And every time something evil happens on the earth, who's orchestrating it? Right. God's not doing this. Satan is doing it. But every time that we yield to doing our own thing, we are heading in the wrong direction. Every time we demand our own way, we're heading in the wrong direction. Satan has an agenda for you too. God has a great agenda, but Satan has an agenda for you too. His influence is always trying to entice you to exclude God in your decision making. What if the body of Christ just included God in their decision making all the time? What if we said, should I do this or not? Should I go there or not? Should I respond this way or not? Should I receive this or not? Should I throw this out or not? Do you think we could live a better life if we just ask the Lord and we're obedient to him? Because every time we do it, what happens? It gets better, right? Every time we listen to him and we obey, our life gets better. And so this is what we're seeing is the problem in our world today. The reason God's kingdom is not fixing what is wrong in our world, you know, people are going, well, where's God? Well, where's God? Well, God is saying, where are you? Where's your thinking? You know, we're still acting like a part of the system of the world. And when we act like we're part of the system of the world, he's trying to supersede that and put in his kingdom over this kingdom, but we're not giving him permission to because we're insisting on our own way. So when you act on the world's system, you get the world's answers. How's that working for you? So we have to move into a spiritual dynamic that gets rid of the physical, better than overseeing the physical dynamic. That which is seen needs to be from insight of the Spirit of God, not just our natural eyes. So where do you think everything in this world came from? There was a big bang. It was like this, let there be light. That's the big bang. So we're created in the likeness and the image of God. And so we're created to move in the spiritual realm. When he created Adam and Eve, he did it, formed them with his own hands. Guess what? You were created in your mother's womb. He put you together. And it was supernatural. How in the world did we get beautiful babies? It's a crazy really, if you think about it, we only think we understand it because we hold babies. But how does that really work? And they'll give you all of the scientific reasons how that works. But I'm saying, how does something from a man go into a woman that creates a human being? Explain that in a way that it makes any sense to the natural. God created man and woman in his own image, in his own likeness, and he told them, procreate and take dominion. And he said, go act like you're a part of this kingdom. And so that's what we're supposed to do. You know, the natural man doesn't understand it. You know, they don't understand the things of the Spirit either. You start talking about, well, the Lord said to me. I've had people stop me mid-sentence and said, what'd you say? And I think this is normal talk, don't you? You know, so I'm like, well, God told me this, and God told me they think I'm some wacko if they don't know me. And I go, well, yeah, he's still talking. And so the way I always get them is this. He's talking to you right now. Would you like to know what he's saying? They don't know what to say to that. What are they going to do? Say, I don't want God to talk to me. And so they go, okay, what's God saying? You know, as they roll their eyes. And then you just let the Spirit out and you let them know what he's saying. How can they deny that when it hits them in the heart? Because the Spirit is talking to the spirit of man. The Holy Spirit within us is more powerful, and they can't deny his presence because he just did something that changed their life and impacted their hearts. And so that's why we love to operate in the things of the Spirit, because we see the benefit package for the person we're ministering to. I mean, it is about us and the fact that we get to enjoy it while we see God change lives. But beyond that, it is all about God's children and them all having the benefit of us yielding to God and his kingdom. Amen? Okay, so, you know, your natural mindset is going to lie to you. Your eyes can lie to you. You can see things that lie. You can hear things that lie. The Spirit of God will never lie. He's always authentic and he's always telling the truth. So we have to not let the kingdoms of this world rule over our life. If we do, we'll never get it right. We are supposed to let the Spirit rule in our life. We make judgments in our flesh all the time. But the Spirit of God knows what's right and what's wrong. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Is that right or is that wrong? He knows. He's the creator of it. Okay, so we are in a world that is moved by feelings and options and situational ethics. You know, they just make their own stuff up. And then we listen to them and then we start believing it. And we're believing a pack of lies, man. It's a little lie here, a little cheat there. You know, just a little bit. But the Bible says it'll get in leaven the whole lump. You know, so you have to choose what feels right in the moment. That's what they want you to do. Instead of what is right in the kingdom of God. What is right in the kingdom of God should rule over what is right that you feel like at the moment. Every regret that anyone has ever had, if you interview them, and I do, it's because they gave in to an improper feeling. So, feelings don't get to vote. Our feelings should be kingdom feelings. Our feelings should be being matured by being in the presence of a king and honoring him. Hallowed be thy name. What's your kingdom look like when it comes? Through me. How can I yield to your kingdom and make this make sense to anybody, including myself? How do I put myself in the position of total submission to your will? Because that is when you thrive. And that is when you enjoy your life. And that's when you get joy. And that's when his fullness can begin. Because now he knows he can trust you every single time. You choose him over what you really felt like doing. You're building your muscle of faith. You're building your muscle of confidence. You are honoring him and reverencing him and building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, they are totally subject to the king. Amen? Okay, so when you want to please God, you have to seek his wisdom. Ooh, I'm going. Okay, sorry. And you need to learn to operate in the Spirit. So we have to see his will come from heaven to earth. So how do we do it? We agree with God and his directives by hearing and hearing the word. Well, you got to have the word in you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, if you need to memorize that scripture, and then you need to apply it. Hear and hear. Then you have to agree with God's promises and understand this. They're yours. All of God's promises in the word are yours. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us to the glory of God. All of his promises are yes and amen. I get to have them. You get to have them. He gives them to everyone. Hallelujah. And then you have to choose to come under the patterns of the kingdom of God. This in Romans, it says this. I urge you. I beseech you, I beg you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of the world. Not many people preach on that. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Oh, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, don't conform to the pattern of this world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That when you let the Spirit renew your mind to the truth of who God is, and he's on your side, and what he's saying, and how he is imposing himself, superseding over what your problem is, you will fall in love with him over and over again, and you will bring forth the pattern of the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. Isn't that exciting? So it takes practicing and it takes maturity. And so I'm going to ask Janice to come up. We're going to do this. Because the other day we were talking at the office, and so I asked her, well, you know, in some of your hardest things that you've ever faced, we need practical application. Don't you want to know how to do this? And so I said, how do you overcome what the enemy has tried to do in your life, and how did you learn to put this into practice? And she began to tell me, and I go, oh, man, you got to tell the people. How many of you want to grow in God today? Okay, go ahead, Janice. Oh, yeah.
So it was really when I think I matured some in this, and I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm much better than I used to be, was when actually I went through Truth here at Liberty.
Yeah.
So that was probably the start of it.
They don't know what Truth is.
Okay,
maybe.
So Truth is a ministry.
Put your mic up.
Truth,
you know
is,
this.
I know.
Okay.
Truth is a ministry here at Liberty. You can see it on our website that basically it is an opportunity to recognize areas in your life that you're struggling in and coming alongside other, you know, prayer partners here at Liberty, usually elders, leaders of the church, that will help you walk out overcoming those, you know, struggles that you have in your life. So you get freedom from that. And, you know, you're one way when you start and you're a different way, you know, more like Jesus when you finish. So I highly recommend Truth to everybody because it really will impact and change your life. And all of us have things that we are struggling with that, you know, we know we're struggling with and we need to get rid of. So
amen.
That's Truth. I'm a big supporter of Truth Ministry. So that's when I think I really started, you know, doing it. And then at one point, you actually had me do a teaching on a Wednesday night, probably because this was an area that I struggled with, on the battle of the mind. So one of the biggest areas that I struggled with was, you know, the enemy was always messing with my head. And so Joyce Myers has a wonderful book out there called The Battlefield of the Mind, I think it's called. And, you know, she really breaks it down well as far as how he's attacking your mind, how he's working through your mind, you know, so forth and so on. So, and then not only did I have to read the book, then I had to teach on the book. So it was during that process that I recognized that a lot of the Truth Ministry that we have is kind of tied in with that book. So read that book. It's a good book. So, okay, I wrote these two notes down. Because I thought of them just now when you were talking. So what I realized is, you know, you talked about faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So a couple of scriptures that have, I think, since that time years ago when I started in Truth, when I seen these scriptures, they stuck with me. And the first one is Philippians 2:12, which talks about this is Jesus humbling himself and, you know, coming down to earth. And he had to humble himself even unto death. And it's just, you know, exhorting us, saying that we also need to humble ourselves. And then the scripture 2:12, Philippians 2:12 is, we need to humble ourselves, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
So when I read that in the past, I was like, I need to work out my own salvation. And I recognized that part of this stuff that I learned was the process of working out my own salvation. Sometimes sin in our life from, you know, physical things that we do that we know we shouldn't be doing, let's say lying, stealing, whatever. But then there are sins that are come out of our mind, gossiping, complaining, you know what I'm saying? These are mindsets that are ungodly mindsets. And the whole point of the Truth Ministry is to, part of it is to break yourself of that. So here's the deal. I highly recommend, for me, it was, Lord, help me to see those things in my life that are displeasing to you, right? Search my heart. So, and asking him for the discernment. So I'll use complaining. Listen, my husband will tell you, I have struggled with complaining in my life. And I can also tell you that my mom did. So I know it was a generational thing also, right? So we had to break the generational thing off. But I started getting to a place where I would recognize without my husband telling me, you know, with by the Holy Spirit telling me that this, you know, I'm doing this. This is a problem. And the Holy Spirit would quicken me to let me know, you need to stop doing this. And so as soon as I came to a place of maturity of recognizing by the Spirit, right, that my soul, because it was my soul that was doing it, my soul wanted to complain about something, right? But my spirit man was pointing out to me, no, this is not of God. So once I recognized it, then I knew I could take authority over it. And I knew it was the enemy trying to work through me. Because once you start complaining, you're not only affecting your own inner self,
right,
you're going to affect everybody in your earshot, right? Yes. So now I'm affecting everybody. I apologize to my household. So, you know, so the bottom line is you have to recognize it and then take authority. So how do you practically take authority over it?
Right.
Which is what Pastor Don wanted me to share. So in truth and just in general.
In life.
Yes. So I am truth in myself on a regular basis. And those who have been through truth a couple times, because you got to go for refreshers every once in a while, you start truthing yourself. You start recognizing the enemy working in your life.
Yep.
And in order to work out your own salvation, you take steps to take authority over it. So basically what I'll do is when I realize I'm doing something like that, that I know is not right of God, then I'm like, no, you know, I'm like, Satan, no, we're not going down that road. I renounce you. I break that off of me in Jesus' name. I am not going to come into agreement with it. In fact, you have to break. If you've come into agreement with lying or with complaining or gossiping, and you know that's a problem in your life, and you know, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you know what the problems are, right? So, you know, once you recognize it, you have to break that agreement off. You have actually formed a covenant with that spirit. So as I would complain about different things, I was coming into agreement with a spirit of complaining.
Yep.
And I had to break the agreement.
How do you do that?
By my words, because we have authority. And I would say, spirit of complaining, I break the covenant and the agreement that I made with you in Jesus' name. I sever it now. It is no longer a connection. You're no longer a soul tie in my life. And I break you off in Jesus' name. And I renounce you from my mind. And hey, I go all the way. Body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
I just renounce you from me. I rebuke you and I send you back to the pit of hell in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Where you belong. And just because we have full authority over it.
Yes.
So I get rid of it. And then I replace it. I call it my R's. Recognize, renounce, rebuke, replace. So I'll replace it with, you know, I replace that, Lord. And if you can't come up with something, just replace it with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, just like I replace that with the Holy Spirit. Fill that space, Holy Spirit. I don't want an empty place in my house. So I fill that space that I just kicked out with the spirit of the Most High God, or a spirit of satisfaction. I don't know. What's the opposite of complaining? I don't know. Gratefulness? Thankfulness? Yes. So you just replace it what you know with what you know is of God. And then listen, he's going to come back.
Amen.
He's going to try again because he's evil.
Yes.
That's his job,
the devil.
Right? And so you got to repeat it. That's my next R. So you have to recognize it. You have to renounce it, which is break the covenant, renounce it from your life, rebuke it out of your life, and then replace it, and then repeat it whenever you need to. Amen?
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, practical application. Is that good? Now you know what to do if the enemy comes against you. Okay, I have more, but I'm going to skip to the end, and I'm going to say this. The most important thing you can work on is your relationship with God. And when you have your relationship with God, it doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. So how many of you ever saw the movie The War Room?
Yeah.
Wasn't that good? Oh, that's good. Cindy has it in case you want to borrow it. You can. I think you can also YouTube it and they'll let you watch it for free. But here's the deal. The story is really about a family that God intervenes for. But he intervenes for them through one little lady, an older lady, who has learned how to build a little war room in a closet and put scriptures all over the walls and begin to pray until something happens. And so you think that this woman, through the whole story, you think, oh, she's wonderful. She had a good life. She did what Janice did her whole life. She has to, because she's so powerful. And so she takes this girl under her wing, and she starts, they're having trouble in their marriage, and she starts fighting for her and with her for her husband. And she teaches her how to build her own little war room. And this lady goes into that closet, makes her own little closet, and starts warring for her husband. And of course, God intervenes, and they end up together better than they ever were. And you're just so amazed. And then the lady who was the mentee says to the mentor, oh, I wish I could have known your husband. You must have had a wonderful relationship. I would have loved to have known him. And she said, I treated him so bad. You see, I didn't apply these principles. It was after he died that I began to apply these principles to my life. And so I pray for people like you, that I can go ahead and mentor and bring you into a place that I wish I could do over. I wish I could have known this when I was going through what I was going through. But I am not going to let the redemption of God go to waste. I'm going to keep asking him for another opportunity and another opportunity so I can use my gifts. And so I want to play you this clip. And this clip is powerful, so get ready for the power. And you know why it's powerful? Because this is not just an actor. This is someone who knows God, who actually knows how to pray, who's actually praying the word and releasing the truth over this world and over every generation. And I want you to know you have the same power and the same ability available to you. You just have to get into your own war room, get your own words from God, from his written word, and begin to agree with him and to pray it out. And then we'll close with that, okay? Is it ready?
Oh, devil, you just got your butt kicked. My God is faithful, and my God is powerful, and my God is in charge. You can't fire him, and he'll never retire. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. My God is good. My God is good, and he's faithful.
So that's not the clip I wanted. Where's Danielle? Danielle, could you find it? It's the very end of the war room. Sorry, it's worth looking for. It really is.